world. Look at this verse of Scripture in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus speaking after his death, burial, resurrection. It's called the moment of, is just getting ready to ascend and disappear. His last words, we call this the Great Commission. The commission, what the church is supposed to do. So on the day of Pentecost, 10 days later, it says there was 120 in the upper room. So we're assuming there's about 120 people. After everything he's been through and everything he's done on the earth, he's got 120, about a size like our church, and he gives them instructions. And from those 120 people, Jews, who didn't associate with non-Jews, he gave them these instructions, and these 120 people have turned the world upside down. There's over 2 billion people now who have faith in Jesus Christ. You and I are a result of them talking to somebody, talking to somebody, talking to somebody, and it came down to me and you. And here's what he said here in Mark 16, and he said to them, go into all the world. Don't just stay in Jerusalem. Don't just reach your people, your kind, people that look like you, think like you, act like you. Go reach some other people. Go into all the world. That was revolutionary to the Jews because they were very, you know, centered on the Jewish culture and community. And so this was earth-shattering to them. Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Gospel means good news to all creation. And they did it. And that's why you're here today. So we are in Gainesville. That's part of the world, right? But we also have a couple of people in our church that are reaching particular parts of the world. So we're going to hear today from two different individuals. First, we're going to hear from Will Flatbush, who goes to India. He's going to tell you more about that. He started going like 2 weeks at a time, then 3 weeks. Now he's going for many months, like long months, as long as he can. And still, you know, he has to come back for visa purposes and stuff like that. So he's pretty much moved to India. So we're going to hear from, in a couple of minutes, we're going to hear from Will. And then after that, we're going to hear from Wesley Crames. Wesley and Jamie have been taking teams to Haiti for years. And I thought it'd be good for us to know a little bit more what goes on, because maybe everybody doesn't have a chance to catch Will or Wesley and get some more details. And I thought it'd be good for them to share with us as a church. We're their church. And when they're there, they're an extension of us. They're part of us. And then I'm going to wrap it up with sharing what we do as a part of ARC, planting churches all over the world. So give it up for Will Flatbush. He's going to come up. He's going to go first. Wouldn't you like to see what's going on in India? He's got pictures and everything. Love you, man. Let me get this out of your way.
Jamesiki, Stotram, praise the Lord. Three languages, but it all means to God be the glory. Amen? The phrase, do not be afraid, is written in the Bible 365 times. That's a daily reminder to not be afraid. There are seven words that Jesus said that no one should leave home without. But first, let us put the first things first. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. As you can see, there's a map. Where I've been is mostly, I started out in South India, spent 18 years down there. We're now up in Northern India, and much work to do. But the real question is why? Why do we do this? Simply put, because Jesus asked me to. And I started out a long time ago in this little bitty church. They were praying for a computer person because they wanted to have a little computer center. And that's when I showed up. The Lord crossed paths. 21 years later, I went to this place to get some Bibles for one of our programs. They had some computer problems. Their computer person just left. And that's where I am. The how? It's simple, completely trusting in the Lord. What does this really mean? It means that you believe in what God says. You walk in the Word. He'll make your path straight, removing obstacles. The promises I stand on every day. There's actually a ministry, Joshua 1:9. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for I am with you wherever you go. What's there to be afraid of? We've been told, for God has not been given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I have a big poster of that. Quickly. You know, I've made a lot of missions trip for my father, and I've never complained, and I always go, and I always try to be in my father's will. A few years back, I wrote an email that reflects the journey, and the essence is, it's not so much the destination that matters. I believe it's the journey that our father wants us to see. As the journey can be hard sometimes, and your body hurts, and you just want to rest, that's when it happens. I'm often amazed that God would choose me to do anything, much less represent my fellow Christians in a place so far away and sometimes a bit overwhelming. But you know, it's so worth it. I just wish it didn't take 2 weeks and 3 days to finally realize it. And instead of fighting the flow, just go with it. Don't get me wrong, some people would really relish all the attention. Myself, I tend to shy away from it. I come away from this mission trip really humbled by what God can and will do with anybody if you only let him. We arrived back in Sultanpet. Pastor Henry's father is one of the most special men. It's a picture of him that I've met in all of India, and someone I cared about a lot. We got there early in the morning, and I didn't care if I slept on a rock. I just wanted to lay down. As it turns out, I was sleeping in a prayer room behind the church, his father's prayer room. Who had just passed away, by the way. And I'd had an ongoing debate with Pastor Henry about staying there for the last 2 days or going back into Coimbatore because, quite frankly, I was wore out. I could have used some downtime. I still had one long journey back. I just wanted to relax and have people stop trying to do things for me. He said it was my decision, and I'd been sitting there that morning, no TV, enjoying the peace and quiet of the place, and dare I say, really in the presence of God Almighty. But I'm not one to say that lightly, but I just had to, because I never felt quite so loved in my entire life. That's the room. The 3-day revival in the South was an unqualified success. The children's home is absolutely beautiful. I was so impressed. I mean, I would live there. And the children, well, they're so adorable. Yesterday, Monday, was a bit of a down day to just relax after 3 days, and I had to check out of the hotel early, so I got to spend 14 hours waiting to get on the bus at the church and children's home. And what I found out was that sometimes in life, we need to just be there. You see, it's the getting involved, if even sometimes forced, that can be the difference that you've been looking for all along. Sometimes we need to leave our comfort zones. We need to live in someone else's shoes or sandals for a day to truly understand, to see for yourself, and to really appreciate what it's all about. We have, with God's tremendous help, built a very nice little children's home. We can contribute monies. We can send emails back and forth. But it wasn't until I spent time in those precious children's little shoes that it was so real. Absolute favorite picture of all 1,200 and whatever. I didn't need pictures or progress report to see what God has called us all to do. I really wish you could have seen those smiling faces as they played with virtually nothing, for it is etched into my mind forever. Now I know just how important it is that we stay the course, that we all run a good race. If not for us, then for them. I ended up staying there in Pastor Henry's father's prayer room until I left India, for I was in his presence. And that was a special moment. I miss that man. Jump ahead 10 years or so. Ambala Girls Children's Home. I had visited there once before, and I had planned to come back. It was Christmas time. We wanted to buy him some presents, which we did. And on the flight, I met this KLM stewardess, and she'd been carrying that bag of stuffed toys around for over a month. It started out as a Christmas thing, and she never got it there, and I'm up there getting my cup of coffee, as I always do before the plan leaves, and she goes, you know, and she asked me what I was doing, and she goes, you know, I got this bag. I've been driving. Could you use this? And I stood there in the middle of 400 people, and I pointed up, and I said, praise God, can we? Those children loved these toys. Just let God direct your steps. Amen. And we moved on to, this was Punjab, where I was about 6 weeks ago. And there's a lot of planning, a lot of planning, a lot of work for a 2-3 hour program. We had a 3-day revival, but it's also worth it. You see, when you just let go, let God through Jesus, in Jesus, you are blessed. In Jesus, you are chosen. In Jesus, you are predestined. In Jesus, you are accepted. In Jesus, you are set apart. In Jesus, you are a child of God. In Jesus, we have an inheritance. In Jesus, you are beloved. In Jesus, you are wonderfully made. In Jesus, you are enlightened. In Jesus, you are bold. In Jesus, you are forgiven. In Jesus, you are free. In Jesus, we are righteous. In Jesus, we're a new creation. In Jesus, you're redeemed. In Jesus, you are a sweet aroma. In Jesus, you are a masterpiece. In Jesus, you are sealed. In Jesus, you are assured. In Jesus, we have hope. In Jesus, we have protection. In Jesus, we'll never be alone. And in Jesus, you have a secure future. The thing about that Punjab trip, we did all this travel, and I was getting ready to get cleaned up, and I always like to pack everything up as soon as possible. And somebody came down and they said, "Oh, the children want you to go upstairs and teach Sunday school." And I'm like, I'm thinking, no. But I said, I have to pack this up. I got to get ready. We're leaving today. And about 10 minutes later, somebody else came down. They said, "Oh, the children want you to come upstairs and teach Sunday school." And I'm like, you know, I'm trying to pack. I'm like, well, thank you, but I don't think so. Third person comes down and they said, "Oh, the children want you to come up." And at that point, I'm like, okay, I get it. Those 45 minutes were the best time I had that whole trip. We got to teach them a new song, and it was a blessing. Now, that's my other favorite picture. Right there is a gentleman from England. That's me, and that's the warden of Dune Bible College, Rajesh. And my last thing is, so you think God can't use you? Noah was a drunk, Abraham was too old, Isaac was a daydreamer, Jacob was a liar, Moses had a stuttering problem, Gideon was afraid, Samson was a womanizer, Rahab was a prostitute, David had an affair, Jonah ran from God, Miriam was a gossip, Martha was a worrier, Sarah was impatient, Thomas was a doubter, Peter had a temper, Paul was a murderer, Timothy was too young, disciples fell asleep, Lazarus was dead. Do you think God can't use you? Those who leave everything in God's hands will see God's hand in everything. This is that small little church 20 years later. These are the children I'm working with at Sharp Memorial School for the Blind. I went in there to get some Bibles, and the Lord opened this up. Oh, those 7 words, "Thy will be done, Father, not mine." And your homework for today is Jeremiah 29:11. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your time.
Amen. That was awesome. So, again, my name is Wesley. I'm married to my beautiful wife, Jamie, who's sitting there on the front row. And I'm here to tell you about Victory's involvement in Haiti. November 2013, Victory completed its first trip to Haiti, and that's one of our trips there with our team. I see Pastor Mike and Lelaine in there, and Daniel was going to our church at the time, is right there, and the guy in the yellow shirt is Pastor Damon, who is the pastor of Fellowship Church, and he's a big reason why we're able to go. Since then, we have completed 9 trips, and we try to go biannually. One time we skipped and just did one a year, and that just was not cool. I need to go more than that, as well as other people. So our main focus on each of these trips is an orphanage in Monwee, Haiti, and it's a mountain area, and it was first sponsored by Children Light Ministries and then Ally Powell Missions, and I'll try to get back to that a little more if I can, and then Fellowship Church has been kind of at the head of it that organizes the funding that comes in. And there have been a continued support for adequate facilities for all the children, health care, school, since you have to pay to go to school there. And it's because of people like you that it's able to continue, because without people donating, it wouldn't happen. So next slide, please. So we at Victory have done 3 different yard sales, which helped funding for a school bathroom project that costs around $3,400, but they built 2 full bathrooms, toilets, sinks, and showers for an area that has never had those things before. And at one point, they had about 100 children there. And we went there one time and just saw them go outside, and they had to use the restroom on the ground. And so God's like, we can do something about this. And also, for that same school, Victory has funded curriculum for 1 year. If you can imagine, in the U.S., it's about 700, give or take a little bit, for one semester of schools for books. We purchased curriculum for about 40 children for $750 for the whole year. So money goes really far, and it's well used. Next slide, please. The most rewarding experiences for me have been seeing the continuing development of the children. I recently received 9 boys back in December from unknown circumstances. It was obvious that they were physically abused and severely neglected. They're severely malnourished. They had like the pot bellies that you see for those videos where, you know, that looks like everybody's dying. Well, that's what they look like. And several of them wouldn't even talk to us. They just sat there and stared at us. But we had Christmas with them, and Pastor Damon's church packed a whole bunch of presents, and we sat them down from youngest to oldest, one by one, and they opened the presents, and no one knew what they were, so we had to show them how to open it, and they started to figure out by the 3rd or 4th kid. They're like, like, oh, okay. So they started opening it faster. They're smiling. That was a good icebreaker. Pastor Carl, my dad, and I made a recent trip in June. And the orphanage directors, their name are McKinney and Zeke. They went to a YWAM program. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to open an orphanage. And they've done a miraculous job with each of these 9 new boys. They all are open to us now and talk to us. Literally, they would not talk to us or even look at us when we first came. And they all sat in a row this time when they went to see the doctors and were patient. And they all laugh and joke with me now. And I think that's absolutely amazing. Next slide, please. So each of the children in the orphanage needs sponsorship in order to go to school, like I said before. If anyone is interested in becoming more involved in this ministry, we're planning a Fall Haiti small group, and that'll be a good opportunity for us to get out some more information about that. The school in these next next couple of photos is one of the schools that children attend. There's a couple there that they go to. Their grade ranges from 1st grade to 14th grade is the way they structure it, and after that they have to find support in order to go to a university. They learn at that particular school to speak and write in French as well as Creole. There's one English-speaking school there that's a little more expensive, but some of the kids get to go to that one as well. Next slide, please. And we would love for each of these children to be sponsored through schools and have the opportunity to study abroad. And there's already one child that is an adult now who is sponsored in Kentucky by a family. He lives there. It's a private university. And I'm so glad that somebody found him, because he's studying to be an engineer, and he is extremely brilliant and smart. When I first met him, he said he wanted to go to school so he could be a pilot and send missionary supplies to other people. He's a complete orphan. He doesn't have any family. But now he's been directed to be an engineer, so that's awesome. Next slide. McKinney and Zeke have an English tutor that comes to the orphanage weekly, and I've seen more progress in this last trip that we made with their English speaking abilities than I've ever seen before. So that also costs money. Generally, they sponsor each kid around $40 a child, and there's about 23 in there. And if as long as we keep that, you see some real progress. It just it takes funding in order to do these things. And that'll help them, too, as far as studying abroad. And the next slide. All right, so other outreaches Victory has done is a women's conference. Jamie, one of her vice principals at the time, went with her, as well as some other ladies. And it was very successful. It was a three-day conference, and it was a good attendance, and everyone was blessed by it. We've also done Vacation Bible School a couple times in the orphanage, and every time we've done it there, we've had about 100 children in attendance, and those have been some of the most rewarding things for me because the kids just love it. Mackenzie turns on some music, and kids just come. And we usually have like a salvation curriculum. We do skits, interacting games, and we all give them a meal if we can at the end of it just to bless them, and it's been an awesome blessing. Next slide. All right, so we've also done school outreaches, and that's the school where the bathroom project was done. That was a lesson on hygiene for the kids up there because we just installed the bathrooms and toilets and everything, so that was a blessing to be able to do that. And we also have friends that just follow us around when we go there. They just love what God's doing in our lives. Experience was in one of those photos in the beginning. He's lives here now. He got married and moved over here. But he'll just follow us around and translate for us. Doesn't ask for anything. He just does it. So that Pastor Shriz man, that school has been there for about 20 years. And like I said, that was the first bathrooms that they've had. Next slide. Our November and December trips are special in that we usually get to have Thanksgiving or Christmas celebration with the kids. That's my favorite part about those trips, is just being around the children, learning who they are, and letting them know that we care about them. And God's able to do more in that than anything else, in my opinion. So, next slide. All right, so we're planning on having a monthly or bi-monthly small group for Haiti Missions, and we're going to figure out some dates here shortly, but you can always come and see me and ask about it. And that's just to be involved in any kind of level that you want to be involved in, including going on a trip if that's what God's leading you to do. We appreciate prayers and support so much. I see God's hand in everything that we do. He steers us and guides us, and he shuts doors, thankfully, that keep us from becoming a part of something we don't want to be a part of. It opens doors that I never thought possible, and it's awesome. So right now we're trying to raise funding for additional living space for the 9 boys. It's already underway. We have about $2,000 more to raise. They've already done the structure. They just have to do the walls and the facilities inside of it. So we're planning on having another yard sale in the fall. We'll get dates out for that, too, whenever we find that out. And then we want to also raise funds to build an additional septic system for them because it's just too small now because they only have one for the 23 kids. So I appreciate you guys. I appreciate all your prayers. And just come see me after service if you have any questions. And that's all I had. Thank you.
All right. So, in addition to that, you know, just kind of want to let you know things that go on behind the scenes that maybe everybody is not aware of. So, when you give in the offering, you know, there's three types of giving in the Bible: tithes, offerings, and alms. So, everything that comes in, alms is for the poor. A portion of everything you give goes to some local ministries that help the poor. Another portion goes to offerings to support missionary projects like Haiti or India, or I'll share some other things that we do. And then the lion's share goes to tithes, is to support the local church, stuff we do on a weekly basis, supports myself, Pastor Mike, children's ministry, you know, everything that we can, pays the rent, keeps the lights on, so forth. So as far as offerings, another thing that we do on a monthly basis is that we give into ARC church planting. So ARC is the Association of Related Churches. That's the association that we belong to. ARC does two things. They plant churches, and then they create relational opportunities for churches to, you know, associate, gather, grow, learn, train. So it does those two things. So monthly we send to ARC, and here's what ARC is doing. Right now, the number one evangelism tool on the planet is church planting. Statistically speaking, the numbers are that when new churches start, just the excitement of a new church, you know, brings new people in. People want to see it, and those people get saved. I'm not saying we need everything going on. It's not like, okay, that's the only thing we need to do. But, you know, we need to do traditional missionary efforts. We also need to do church planting. So here's some figures from ARC. The first number here is 769. That is the number of churches ARC has launched so far. So I think we started in 2001, so it's about 17 years old as an organization. In 17 years, we've planted 769 churches. And what I mean by planting a church, we start with a couple that wants to start a church. They go through a one-year-long training and vetting process to see if they're ready, if they want to. They get trained, need to find out what, because church, 90% of church plants fail within 3 years. So new church starts, if you look for them in three years, only 10% are still in existence. Of the 769 churches that ARC has planted, after 17 years, 93% are still in existence. And it's because most people don't know what they're getting into. So they get into it and then find out and they're not ready for it. So they weed them out at the one-year process. You know, do you know what you're getting into? Here's what it's like. And another reason is they're not trained, they're not prepared, and they don't have the financial backing. So what we do when we start churches in ARC, the couple has to raise a certain amount, and then basically ARC gives them 2-to-1. Whatever they raise, they double that, and they give that to them. And that sustains them for at least a year to get their feet on the ground and get going. Then they've had the training. They've been vetted. They know what they're getting into. And that's why we have a 93% success rate. I love ARC's church planting methodology, 769. And 120 is the number of churches ARC launched last year in 2017. So the numbers, you know, have been on the increase. 21 churches launched by ARC outside of the U.S., so you can see the vast majority are in the United States, although now the global reach is increasing. So in the last few years, we've started 21 churches in other countries, and that percentage will continue to increase. The next slide, $7 million. That's the amount that was invested in ARC churches last year alone. You're a part of that. You are a part of that $7 million. We as a church, we give monthly into that. The next figure is 100%. That's the amount of what we give to ARC that ends up directly in the hands of the church planter. No other organization does this the way it's structured. Whatever we give, there's no administrative fees taken out. I understand that, and I don't fault organizations. They have to do that, but the way ARC has set this up, 100% of what we give on a monthly basis ends up in a church plant. And watch this. The church plant agrees to pay that whole amount back whenever they can without interest. So as soon as they get on their feet and start growing and have extra, whatever we gave them, they give it back, and it ends up going to another church who gives it back. So the money that we give not only is 100% effective, but it keeps multiplying. And then these churches that are planted give not only what was given to them back, but after that they keep giving, and it keeps planting new churches. And they're planting, the next figure is 120. That's what we're on schedule for starting this year in 2018, is another 120 churches. Now here I've got some research figures done by Barna Research Group. They're a national statistical analysis organization, and they analyzed the 10 most unchurched cities in the United States. So you got Albany, New York, 51, this is the percentage of unchurched residents. 51% of the people in Albany, New York, don't either never have or don't go to church. And then you see Seattle, 52, Portland, 54, Boston, 56, Reno, 59. Okay, I didn't see it was going across. Sorry about that. Orlando, Reading, Las Vegas, 55, Springfield, 57. And then the top of the list from the Barna Research Group, they're obviously using cities of a certain size, but they're the highest percentage of unchurched is San Francisco. 60% of residents of San Francisco don't go to church. But I have another statistic for you, because they obviously didn't include Gainesville. So the statistics on Gainesville, this was done by the Association of Statistics of American Religious Bodies, and here's the figure for Alachua County. The unchurched population is 80% of the residents of Alachua County do not go to church. So if you're talking about a mission field, you know, we need to go all over the world. Amen. Thank God for Will going to India. Man, we love you. We bless you. Man, thank God for Wesley and Jamie going to Haiti. What they're doing over there, isn't that awesome what they're doing? And I encourage you to find out more, be part of that small group, go on a missions trip. But I just want to encourage you that if you feel like, well, you know, I've never been on a mission trip, all you got to do is go to Publix. All you got to do is live in Alachua County, because this is one of the most unchurched areas in the world, 80%. You have nothing to be ashamed of lifting as far as wanting to be a missionary and reach people. You've got your work cut out for you, folks. We have our work cut out for us right here in Alachua County. You're in the right spot if you care about people's eternal destiny. You know where the most churched area is, according to this last study I read from Barna? Chattanooga, Tennessee has the highest percentage of the cities that they, Chattanooga, Tennessee. So, you know, sometimes people are like, well, I got this job and I'm just surrounded by unbelievers. I want to get, you know, maybe you want to live in a place where everybody goes to church. You know, you could move to Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I guarantee you, it's still going to be just as tough living in Chattanooga as it is in Alachua County. And you're actually better off in Alachua County because you got more people to reach the gospel with. You know what? As I look around our county, not having a relationship with God, and I think going to church is a reflection of the fact I have a relationship with God. The next thing is I want to worship God. I want to find God's people. I want to honor His commandments and honor the Sabbath. I want to go to church. So that's a reflection of having a relationship with God. Well, if 80% of the people don't have a relationship with God, there's a lot of pain in our community. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even when you have a relationship with God, life is tough, but at least you got someone that's got your back. You've got God. You know, He's holding you in His hand, and you know that. When you don't have God, who do you got? Right. You know, who do you have? There's a lot of pain in our community. People need Jesus. Our mission as a church is this statement right here, helping people find and fulfill their God-given destiny. It's that simple. I mean, we got it broken down in different components. If you want all the details, this is a summary statement. You know, we want to help people. And who are we as a church? Are we a building? Are we a sign? Are we a piece of paper? It's us. We are the church. You don't go to church. You are the church. And who are we? We individuals, every one of us, it should be in the back of our mind every day when I get up, who can I help to find and fulfill their God-given destiny? And then me, am I finding and fulfilling my God-given destiny? Am I fulfilling the purpose for which I was created? You're not happy until you do that. Yeah, how do you do that? I'm going to tell you, it's very simple. I'm not going to stand up here and go, how do you do that? Well, you need to go to seminary, and you need to go train, and you need to go do this. No, I'm going to tell you how easy it is. Two things. Number one, talk to people. Number two, invite them to church. If you don't know anything else, tell them, I'll pick you up Sunday and bring you to church. And we'll give an altar call every Sunday, and we'll give them an opportunity. They'll sit in worship and feel the presence of God. They'll meet people that know God. They'll hear the gospel maybe for the first time. It's pretty doggone simple, folks, to win the world for Jesus. Everyone needs four things. You do, I do, everybody you know, the people at your work that you don't like too much, the people in your neighborhood that mess with your yard or aggravate you, everybody, the people that cut you off in traffic, the people you live with, all around you, everyone needs four things. Number one, we need to know God. That is the most primary need that everybody has, to know God. People don't need religion, they need Him. They need God. The second thing everybody needs is to find freedom, because you know what? The earth, the world has a way of beating you up. There is a devil loose. There are mean people. You know, even us, we do bad things to each other. I mean, we're fallen creatures. We're selfish. We're sinful. And you know, it happens. Crud happens. And life beats you up. And if you don't have a process in your life to get healed from the hurts and the baggage of the past, you carry that with you, and you never become what you're intended to be, because you're carrying all this baggage, and it keeps you from having the kind of relationships you're supposed to have by getting rid of the baggage from the past and developing some life-giving relationships. The old bad relationships get in the way. You have all these fears and mistrusts and walls put up because of things that have happened. And so we have some things in our church where we try to address this. We try to help you know God. We try to help you find freedom. We have a freedom group. People that go to the freedom group, and they tell me all the time, that's the best thing I've ever been to. It's been the best thing. Yeah, give it a hand. It's the best thing that ever happened to me when I started getting freedom. Years after I got saved, I felt more like a Christian after I got some freedom than I did after I got saved. Because even though I was saved and going to heaven, I had a lot of baggage, a lot of hurts, and I still had the problems that I had before I got saved until I found some freedom. So we have some things going on to help you find freedom. The third thing people need is they got to discover their purpose. If you know, I've seen people that they've never found their purpose in life. They just keep searching and banging their head up against the wall and doing stupid stuff and destroying themselves and others, because we are made to know that we have a purpose. So we try to help you do that. Next Sunday after church, we're going to give you a free lunch and evaluate how you were uniquely made by God. We're going to discover your purpose so that you can figure out what to do with that. Fourth thing everybody needs is to make a difference. It's written in your DNA to want to do something on this earth before you leave here. You want to make a difference. And the best way you can make a difference is to advance the kingdom of God. You were designed to advance God's kingdom so that 2 billion people can come into the kingdom of God, and more still waiting. There's 5 billion that don't know Christ. There's 80% of Alachua County that doesn't know Christ. And you need to figure out how to make a difference. Everybody ought to be on Dream Team. That's what we call our volunteer network. It's divided into different departments and areas of ministry. Discover your gifting. Figure out how to make a difference. Make a difference with your life. It's written in our DNA to want to make a difference. And what do you do when you're doing that? You help others on their journey while you're on your journey. Don't wait till you arrive, because you won't. I haven't arrived. I will never arrive, but hopefully I'm better this week than I was last week. We're on a journey, and the what advances your journey more than anything else, help somebody else on their journey. I'm telling you, you'll grow like never before. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. Get on a dream team. It's just very simple. Serve someplace, and you'll see your time and effort helping the big picture where people get saved. We've seen 1,995 people as a church. We've seen that many people commit their lives to Jesus. How does that happen? That happens because somebody's on the soundboard, somebody's on the media computer, somebody's greeting, somebody's parking, somebody's in nursery, somebody's in preschool, somebody's in kids, somebody comes during the week and cleans the church, and on and on and on. That's what Dream Team is. It makes a difference. Amen. And when we grow when we help others grow. You grow closer to God when you help others get closer to God. I want to get close to God. I don't want to hear. Do something for somebody else. You'll be amazed how God will begin to speak to you. Here's a couple steps that we're taking right now as a church. Two huge steps. Number one, we're praying and believing to move back to Gainesville, where we started, where the 80% of the people, most of them are. I know it's neat out here. It's great. Y'all love to go to Micanopy and walk down Chilaca Boulevard. I love Micanopy. I've lived here for 55 years. It's great, but the mission is not for me to be comfortable. It's for us to reach the lost. Yeah. So we've been talking about this for a year. We've taken drastic efforts as much as we can. We've put the land up for sale. We've said, if that's what it takes, we're willing to sell it. We want to move back to Gainesville. There's something we're working on now. There's a possibility of a building. I want to give you a lot of details because then you'll think it's a done deal, and it's not. We're hoping maybe it's going to work out. You know, every situation is, you know, it's going to need. It's the building is not a church, so that's the question. Can we turn it into a church? What's it going to cost? Can we make a deal? Is this going to work? But we're working on it. And you know what's going to make, wherever the place is, you know what's going to make it happen is we need to be in agreement in prayer. Yeah. Keep praying. Pray, I like that saying, push, P-U-S-H, pray until something happens. Pray for us to move. So it's got a good possibility. We're going to be doing some analysis this week, some inspections and looking and figuring out if we can make it happen. Another great thing that's happening right now in Victory Church is Michael Crame is going full-time in the ministry. Yeah. Woo! And somebody asked me, how can you afford to do that? Well, I explained it last week. Let me explain it again this week. I would have loved to have brought him on staff as a church. We do not have the finances to do that. And so right now, Mike, Pastor Mike and I are the full-time staff. And we could certainly use a lot more help. Michael, God's put it on his heart to raise his own finances to go into full-time ministry. And it's like, okay. And he's got a plan, he's studied, he knows how to do it. And I shared with you last week, if you want to support him, that's great. But listen how it works. Okay, this is how much is coming in every month. Now, we cannot take from what's coming in every month to support Michael, then probably Pastor Mike's going to lose his job. And we're not trying to swap one for the other. You know, we have to stay where we're at. If you want to support him, there's two ways you can support him. If you're giving like to other missionary projects over and above the church, which is great, pray about maybe giving that to Michael as a missionary to Gainesville. He's going to be on the college campus winning souls. He's going to be helping us as a church. Another way you can help him is to give him some leads. I know some people that like to support this kind of stuff, and he'll go talk to them and see if they're interested. So these are two great things. We're trying to move back to Gainesville. We've got something possibly that might work out. The building, the land is for sale. We've got two people interested in it. We'll see how that works out. Michael Crame's planning on coming on full-time in January. That's going to be awesome. Yeah. So what we do as a church, we're constantly tweaking everything that we do. We're constantly evaluating. The lead team gets together every Wednesday night and says, what did we do right this week? What did we do wrong? What can we do better? Every week, how can we get better? Because the consequences are too valuable to mess up. People's eternal destiny hangs in the balance. It's the greatest adventure on the planet right now is the church. The church is the hope of the world. Thank God for doctors and lawyers and police and politicians. We need them. But the hope of the world is the church. I'm telling you, it's the message of the gospel. We keep evaluating. We keep making adjustments. We keep learning. We don't know it all. We're learning. There's some people going to Birmingham this week to learn more. We go to conferences. I have pastors that speak into my life. I call them and ask them questions. As a church, we'll just, if this is your first time here, I just want you to know we don't have it all figured out. We're still working. We're 19 years into this. And if you're looking for the perfect church, this is not it, because nobody here is perfect. And if you find the perfect church, don't join it, because then it'll be messed up. Because if there's at least one person in it, it's not perfect. People aren't perfect. We make lots of mistakes. We're still learning. We are lifelong learners. That needs to be our attitude as leadership and everybody. We're lifelong learners. We're just working on this. But the church is the hope of the world. Jesus said this in Matthew 16. He says, I will build my church. Boom. Take it to the bank. That's what he's doing right now. And look at this. The gates of hell will not overpower the church. So be the church. You don't go to church. You are the church. This building is not the church. It's the building that we come in to stay out of the rain and to get some air conditioning and to have some lights and to show videos and stuff. It's a building. We are the church. You are the church. Church is people. Matthew 24:45. I shared this last week. It's stuck in my head. I got to share it again this week. Who then, Jesus speaking, is the faithful and sensible servant whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? There's people in your life. It's your opportunity to give them the food that they need to live. Jesus said, man doesn't live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There's a word in your mouth that will change someone's life. And look at that. Blessed is the servant whom his master finds so doing when he comes. The world says, you got to do this, you got to do that. And in our heart, oh, I got to have this, I got to have that. You know what? Jesus is going to look for not how much stuff we got. What are you doing when I come? Are you feeding people the word of God? Are you telling them the good news? You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. You can have a relationship with God. You can know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Tell people that. That's what we're on this planet for. That's what we're all about as a church. Let's be about the Father's business. You know, I know we come into the kingdom. Sometimes, you know what the Lord told me 2 weeks ago? He said, sometimes Christianity is all about me. He's talking about how our attitude. And I said, wow, isn't that true? Sometimes our Christianity is all about what I can get. And that's okay, because we do need stuff. But if that's all it is, it's not going to work. It has to be, what can I do to advance the kingdom, to honor God, to help somebody else? Amen. That's why when one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to narrow everything down to one law, he wouldn't do it. He had to give him two. He said, number one, love God. And then he said, and the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Because if all you do is think about yourself and your relationship with God, it will never be right. It won't work. You have to think about other people. That's how Christianity works. Let's be about the Father's business. Winning souls, making disciples, helping people find and fulfill their God-given destiny. Anybody get anything out of this today? Was this a great service? Thank you, Will, for coming and sharing. Thank you for going to India. We love you. Thank you, Wesley and Jamie, for going to Haiti and reaching out to those people. God bless you. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together today in your name, the name of Jesus. And we realize we are the church, Lord God, and we want to see more missionaries go all around the world. But God, help us not to sit here today and go, we need more missionaries to go to another country. Help us to sit here and look at ourselves and say, Lord, I'm a missionary where I work. I'm a missionary where I shop. I'm a missionary where I live. I'm a missionary in my family. My family needs some help. How about you? We look around our family and say, boy, some of them really need Jesus. Father, just put it in our heart who we can touch this week with the good news of the gospel. Right now, I got a very important question for you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to ask you something. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today, you say. I don't know. Think so. Hope so. Not sure. Does anybody know for sure? Yeah, the Bible says, I've written to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. John chapter 3, and here's what he said. He said, you must be born again. You go into church, doesn't make you a Christian. You must be born again. I went to church for 20 years. I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't born again. How do you get born again? It's very simple. You just surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes, he lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. And in just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I did that in the past, but really, honestly, today, I'm really not where I want to be with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're seated, today is a new day, and you want to make a fresh start with God. You either want to surrender your life to Christ or recommit your life to Christ. Just slip up your hand as a sign of faith and say, this is a new day. Thank you. Anybody else? This is a new day. Fresh start. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. Anybody else want to get in on this? Okay, pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sins. God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. They meant business with God. Well, listen, if you prayed that for the first time, there's a box.